Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
So glad that you're here with us. A big welcome from myself to you. We're excited for a lot of reasons. One of them is we're in a brand new series, just started it last week. So this is your first time or you missed last week. You're right here at the beginning of a series called Summer Fruit. And I forget to do this every once in a while, but I want to make sure I do it this weekend because it's a long weekend. So I want to give a shout out to everybody listening online. You may be on a hammock right now. You may be by a beach or a pool, or you're by a grill. In fact, why don't you throw an extra steak on the grill for us? We'll see you soon. But thank you for listening online as well. And we're really excited because tomorrow, Memorial Day, we actually start our renovation on the inside of our building. Isn't that exciting? Like, normally I wouldn't be too happy about working on Memorial Day, but I'm excited tomorrow to be here, a part of that, and we're going to be doing that throughout the summer, and then pretty soon I won't give shout-outs to people listening online. I'll also give shout-outs to people who are watching online, and that's just really exciting here in the near future. So glad that you're here. And I don't know about you, but if you're here last week, I just really felt like we had a great start to our series. In fact, many of you came up to me after the service and in person and also just letting me know throughout the week, like, hey, God really did something in my heart. So I'm excited about part two here today. And during this series, what we're doing is we're taking a deep dive into Galatians chapter 5. And you could turn there if you like, because we'll read theme verses here in just a second. But what we're doing is each week, and this is a little different than maybe you're used to, but each week we're looking at one different fruit out of the nine fruits listed when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And let me remind you of something that I said last week, and for those of you that are brand new, you got to hear this too. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruits that are listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when we look at those nine, it's not really nine different fruits. It's really nine different types or flavors of the same fruits. Because when you look at the English, what we're reading it in today, and when you look at the original language, the Greek, the wording there is actually singular. And so that's good theology that we can stand on. And here's the picture I tried to paint last week, as I talked about one tree with nine different fruits on it. And that's what we're talking about. And that one tree, the source, is the Holy Spirit. Things that we can't produce on our own, but things the Holy Spirit produces in us. So here's our theme verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Some of you, like myself, you grew up in church and you memorized this in the King James Version. But here's the NIV. Here's what God's Word says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, what we talked about last week, joy, peace, forbearance, that's another way to say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What's it saying here? You're free. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's our theme verses for this series. So last week was love. This week we're going to focus on joy. Joy. And each week we're going to do a little bit of a word study. So if you like to take good notes in church, this is your point to get ready with me. But if you look at the original language, the Greek word here for joy, the second fruit listed, you actually pronounce it this way, the transliteration, chara. Chara, I said that right. I've been working on that all week long, okay? Chara. Now, if you're texting like myself, you look behind me on the screen, if you're here in the room, and you're like, chara. No, that's not how you say it. It's chara. It's almost like you got a tickle in the back of your throat, if that helps you. But chara, that's the original word here. And here's what it means. If I'm taking notes, I'm writing this down. This is very important for the whole message. Gladness that is independent from outward circumstances, and its source is the Holy Spirit. That's so important. I'm going to say it twice. Gladness that is independent from outward circumstances, and its source is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about biblical joy today, and it's going to help you out majorly in your life. If you're already got a copy of God's Word, open up. If you're in the YouVersion Bible app, turn with me to our main text today. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we could go to a lot of places in the Bible that talks about joy, but we've picked this one today. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have a giant one on the screen if you're in the room. Hebrews 12, we're going to stay in the NIV translation. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to jump right in. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Just hit pause for a second. It's kind of interesting. This last week as I was studying this, I realized that the first message, been here a year and a half and a week, and the first message that I ever preached was from this text here at Christ Covenant. And I focused on that verse that we just read. Let's finish it. Verse 1. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the one you need to see today, not some pastor in a suit on a platform. You need to see Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, this sentence is very intriguing to me. Maybe it'll be to you as well, because if you really think about it, it doesn't make sense in the natural. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Think about that. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the most excruciating pain that anyone has ever felt in the world. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I could preach on that today, but I won't. But that's where Jesus is right now, the right hand of the throne of God. Last verse, consider him, speaking of Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. I got a message I'm ready to preach today. I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much and we thank you, God, for a great day. And the reason why it's great is not because of the weather or because of what's happening. The reason why it's great is because we have another opportunity to receive from your word. And like I preached last week, God, I'm not the only one that plays a part in the preaching of your word. In fact, they play a bigger role here today because they need to receive the word. And God, that plays out in a lot of ways. It plays out in their posture. It plays out in the posture of their heart. It plays out in how they're focused and how they're not sidetracked. And I just pray, God, that we would join together, them and me, as you lead us, Holy Spirit, and that you would do great work in our lives. We know this. There's a lot of people in Christendom. There's a lot of people in our world that need more joy. And I pray, God, you would deposit great amounts of your joy inside every single person in this room and every single person listening online. We need you desperately. So may you move mightily, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. You can respond if you like. You don't have to. But have you ever had plans before? Things that you were really excited about, and the plans didn't turn out like you liked. Does anybody kind of agree with me? I've had lots of times in my life where I planned something, I was excited about something, and I knew exactly how I thought it would turn out, but it went the opposite direction. It's almost like you have this great plan, and just something just hits it right in the face. In fact, it was the great philosopher Mike Tyson that once said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And I've been in that boat many different times. Somebody never taken notes in church, but you wrote that down. You're like, come on, Mike Tyson. It was back this past January, a few months ago. My wife's birthday, it's on January 7th. And so I was excited about this day. And I had some really great plans. And if you know me, I'm a planner. I think that the Holy Spirit can speak to us not just last minute, but also months and months in advance too. And so I'm a planner and I detail things out. And I did that for my wife's birthday. And if you weren't a part of our church back this past January, you don't know this, and this is important context. But every single January, it's only been two since I've been here, but every single January, we start the year off the right way and we go through a 21-day season of prayer and fasting. We pray and feast, we call it, in August, and that just means that we eat. We're allowed to eat during that time. But we pray for 21 days in August, and we pray and fast for 21 days in January. And so on the 6th, because that's the first Sunday of this past year, on the 6th, we started that 21 days. And so the 7th was Monday, the next day. And so I was one day into the fast. And many of you know this, but we also do something else during those 21 days, that we open up this building early on Monday mornings, and we have a whole group of us that come on out, and we pray, and we seek God, and we drink coffee, because we usually don't fast coffee during that time. Some of us need it, myself included, during that time. And so we pray, and we fast. And so I had the whole day planned out, and here's how it was going to look. I was going to get here way earlier than I'm ever awake on that Monday morning to get things ready here in this room for people coming for our prayer time. We pray at 6, so I get here way before that. We get ready to rock and roll. From 6 to 7, we have our hour of power, is what we call it, and we pray and we seek God, and it's just an awesome time together. And then at 7, as everybody is dismissed off to work and school, I was going to lock up the building, and then I was going to take off to surprise my wife. She turned 29, so she got the big 3-0 coming this January. And so she turned 29 this last January, so I'm like, I'm going to surprise her. So I had purchased her a present that she didn't know about, which was already a surprise. My wife thought I was going to stay up here that entire day. That's normally how I do those Mondays during the fast. I just start working right after. But I wanted to surprise her, not just with a gift, but with my presence, because you know that's a great gift. And so I thought, I'm going to sneak out of here. Y'all laughed way too hard right then. I'm going to sneak out of here, and I'm gonna surprise her. So I'm going to get my baby girl. I'm going to get her some flowers, and I'm going to get her some Starbucks, and I'm going to show up as she's getting the kids ready and surprise her. I got the whole thing planned out. So the hour gets here, and I mean, just God's moving. It was incredible. In fact, I remember it very clearly, because one of the things I was praying and fasting for, you didn't know about at the time, but was kingdom builders. So I was like praying and fasting, and God did it. Of course, we know now hindsight is 20/20, but back then it was still a hope and a prayer and a dream. And so I was praying and fasting. The hour went great. Got everybody out of here. And I got in my 2006 Toyota Corolla. And I was ready to cruise down. And so I want to stop by the HEB. We live in Cyprus, 10 minutes from here. I want to stop by the HEB and right there by Fry Road, I think in Tuckerton, kind of right there on the corner. And so as I'm driving from the building here towards that HEB to pick up flowers first, all of a sudden, in my rear view mirror, something happened that was not according to my plan. I saw and heard sirens behind me. And how many of you know that is the worst sound and feeling? And if I could just be honest with you, I mean, we're in church and I'm on a platform and I got a mic and I'm a pastor, so let me just be honest with you. In that split second when I see that, you know, I'm hoping and praying there for somebody else. I'm hoping and praying there's a non-violent crime down the street that they're having to zoom off to. That was not the case. I was accidentally speeding. So I get pulled over, and I'm thinking in that moment, and I'm a pastor. We're weird, okay, guys? Y'all know this. But I'm thinking in that moment, like, do I bring up where I just came from for sympathy? And some of you are like, yes, yes, yes. But let me tell you, I've done things like that before, and it doesn't always turn out like you think, because sometimes that cop doesn't like church or doesn't like, you know, I'm just telling you. So I'm like having this debate in the milliseconds before the cop walks up, and I'm just trying to be really nice. I just feel like, oh, I shouldn't say. So I didn't say anything, and, you know, I'm just trying to be really polite. And you know, just a little hint, this does help. If you're mean to them and upset at them, oh, I wasn't doing, they're going to give you a ticket. So try the opposite. So I'm trying to kill them with kindness. Oh, how you doing? Oh, you look great today, sir. You know, all that kind of deal. It's not in my planning. And so he ends up giving me the ticket. Long story short. And honestly, I had a decision to make in that moment, because my wife did not know I was coming to surprise her. She knew, of course, we were going to do something. But in that moment, honestly, I had to wrestle a little bit. Do I continue on my surprise journey, or do I just head back to the office? Because honestly, I don't know any single person in the world that gets excited and joy-filled about getting a ticket, okay? I'm even adding up the numbers in my head of what I was about to spend on flowers and Starbucks and what I'd already spent on that gift. I'm just telling you, in that moment, I had to decide, am I going to continue on or am I going to come back and just give her a present later that day? Well, I got good news for you. Now, most of my illustrations don't end up like this, but I got good news. I just decided in my heart in that moment, you know, my baby girl's gonna get her surprise flowers and her coffee. So I kept on going. And I made sure in that moment, here's why I say all this, I made sure in that moment to not let that ticket steal my joy. To not let it affect something that I knew was a good thing in my life. And I don't know a lot of things, but here's one thing I do know. Life is about 10% what happens to you and about 90% how you react to what happens to you. And so often we make these excuses. Oh God, I just started a fast. Just led a prayer gathering. I'm going to surprise my wife for her birthday. Why, God, right? We do that instead. But God has called us actually to have the type of joy that's not produced by us or our situation, but is simply something produced by the Holy Spirit. That's the type of joy that God wants to give you, not just in a moment, not just in a service, but like for your entire life. That no matter whether things are good or bad, you have joy that's tied around Jesus. And so today I want to give you a few observations from this passage in Hebrews. We'll get a little bit of Galatians 5 back in, and there's also the Bible in general. So if you're taking notes, hope you'll jot this down. A few observations on joy and life, really. Number one is this. Joy is rooted in Jesus. Joy is rooted in Jesus. We find this in verse 2, the beginning, part A, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know, one of the things we focused on last week, and by the way, I forgot to say this, if you're brand new today or you missed last week, you need to listen to the podcast of part 1, not because it was so good, even though it was, y'all, but not because of that. But really, it's foundational because I said a lot of things then that I'll litter in throughout the other messages, but each message is going to build on last week, okay? So you just got to get that. But one of the things that we talked about last week is that for many of us, and I've been there too, I'm not pointing fingers at you, all of us are in this together. Many times as believers, we get stuck chasing fruit instead of chasing Jesus because we want more joy. Absolutely. You'd be crazy if you didn't. We want joy, but here's the problem. We make decisions. We base our entire life on pursuing joy instead of pursuing Jesus, the one who gives us joy. We want peace. In fact, we're going to talk about that next week. It's going to be a great message for each of us. We want peace. And so I know people that they schedule their lives in such a way that they try to build peace in, and they're chasing fruit instead of chasing Jesus. And so, yeah, you need more joy. Yeah, I need more love. Yes, we need more peace in our lives, but what we really need more of is Jesus. In fact, I said something last week, and I'll say it again, but I could almost get up here every single week and say, be like Jesus, and then drop the mic, because that's what you need in your life. I know it's more. There's more to it than that. There's things that we've got to help you to. I get that. So we won't do that each week, but I'm just trying to get a point across to you that you need more of Jesus. And here's the great thing about Jesus, that when you get more of him, he actually supernaturally produces fruit in your life. And so as you pursue him, you get the joy that you need. And as you pursue him, he gives you the peace that you need. In fact, the Bible says it this way, peace that passes all understanding. Doesn't make sense. You shouldn't have it because of your situation, but it's there supernaturally. When we go after Jesus, he produces the fruit that we desire in our lives. And here's the great thing about it, that when you see someone who is so filled up with joy, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, you know that they are close to Jesus. In fact, I can tell how people are living their life for God or not based on the fruit that is being produced in their life. I don't know if you've met people like that before. I have. where they don't even have to talk about Jesus, but the way that they act, the way that they think, the way that they live, you just know they are on fire for Jesus. Why? Because he's producing supernaturally fruit, much fruit in their life. The more Jesus you get, the more fruit that you get too. And so thinking of our theme verses in Galatians again, I said this last week, but I want to say it again quickly, that when Paul lists these nine different fruits, things that we're talking about, love, joy, peace, all of them, when he lists those nine different things, he's not listing nine virtues. He's not listing nine things that you need to go after in your life. He's listing things that describe Jesus. So when Paul lists joy, peace, patience, love, when he lists all those things, he's describing a person, not a virtue. Because think about Jesus, someone who was filled up with joy even as he faced the cross. Think about Jesus, someone who always had peace in his life. Think about Jesus, someone who loved the unlovely. We need to be more like Jesus. And so if we're going to have joy, if we're going to run the race, as Hebrews is talking about here, that God has called us to run, we've got to keep our eyes and our hearts and our souls locked on him. He's the one that we need. Because any time that we move our eyes away from Jesus towards the fruit, we have major problems. Because I don't care how good you are, or how many great decisions you make, or how many nonprofits you support financially, when you produce your own fruit, it will be rotten in the middle. It is not good enough. It will wither up and die. It will not last. But the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in our life will last and will persevere. And God wants you to bear much of that fruit. Joy is rooted in Jesus. Here's a second point that builds on the first. Number two, joy is not circumstantial. And I get really excited about all the points, and this is something I think God's going to use each and every single point from the Word, but this one I just feel like is really going to resonate with some folks today. Joy is not circumstantial. We've already alluded to it many times. Verse 2, the end, part B, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, like in everything else, Jesus sets the example for you. He sets the example for me. It just blows my mind that on his way to the cross, that on his way to Calvary to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin, it was joy that led him there. Doesn't that blow your mind? Like how Jesus set the example for us. And this tells us something. It tells us that his joy was not tied to his circumstance, obviously. It was tied to something greater. And this is the problem with so many people, including myself, because we get happiness and joy confused. And we use them almost synonymously, say that five times fast, but really they're polar opposites. Happiness is different from joy. Joy is so much different than happiness. But we get them confused. Here's what happiness is. Happiness is based on my circumstance. It is. Think about a kid. If I'm a kid and I get a cookie, I'm happy. But if I'm that same kid and I've got that cookie in my mouth and there's chocolate chips there and it's all great, I'm that same kid and I fall down and scrape my knee, all of a sudden I'm unhappy. Changes in a millisecond, right? You ever seen a kid crying before with like candy or cookies or cake in their mouth? It happens, y'all. Like moment to moment, happiness is circumstantial. It's based on my current circumstance, situation. If I'm an adult and I get a raise or I get an A on a paper, like I am happy. But on my way home from the raise and on my way home from getting an A on that paper, if I get a flat tire or a ticket, y'all know I can relate to that, all of a sudden I'm unhappy. Why? Because happiness changes every single moment that your life changes. But joy is different. And joy is what God wants to give you. In fact, joy is what you really desire, what you really want. Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is not based on whether things are good or bad. Joy is not based on whether you're in a challenging season or an easy season. Joy is tied to something greater. Joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. So today, my hope, my prayer, my mission, the reason why I'm here preaching to you today is that you would understand that God wants to unleash, like unleash on your life, epic amounts of joy. That no matter what happens, you can glorify and worship and praise God. Whether you get the raise or you don't get the raise, you are fulfilled. That whether things are great in your earthly relationships or not, you feel like, you know what? God is for me and not against me, and I'm going to be okay. God wants to give you that joy. Joy is not circumstantial. Here's a third point, and Tony's going to help play behind me on this one. I'll spend a little bit of time on this one. But number three, joy is strengthening. Joy is strengthening. This is verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. If you read the Gospels, you know that's a true account. Such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What's Paul saying here? I believe Paul is the writer here in Hebrews. I know there's a lot of debate there, but that's just my personal belief. But what is Paul saying here if he's the writer? What is he saying? He's saying, look at how Jesus was opposed, and that will actually give you strength when you're opposed. That if Jesus had haters, you'll have haters too. That if Jesus had people come against him and he had the greatest mission there's ever been, then you're going to have people come against you as well. So not only is Jesus setting the bar for us, he's setting the example for us. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary. It will encourage you to not lose heart. This is good theology. So if you've never heard this before, I'm glad you're going to hear it today. But Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was 100% God and 100% man. It wasn't 50-50. That's bad theology. Good theology, 100% God, 100% man. And so he leaned in to his humanity here on this earth. And so Jesus, let me remind you, it's going to help you today. Jesus had people despise him, mock him, leave him, wrongly accuse him. And he was able to handle it all, even in his humanity. Set the bar and set the example for you and me. And as a pastor, I got to tell you, this encourages me. As a Christ follower, it encourages me that I'm not the only one that had a friend turn their back on me. So did Jesus. I'm not the only one that experienced great loss and had a friend die. So did Jesus. Not the only one that poured into somebody in my ministry for years and then have them abandon me. So did Jesus. And so if Jesus faced difficulty, if Jesus faced great pain and great loss, and yet he persevered, and yet he had great joy, so can you and so can I. But not on our own strength, but with his help. If Jesus kept his joy, so can we. If Jesus kept loving people, so can we. I want to read you another verse. Please don't turn there. But it's from the Old Testament. Just going to read it real quick. It'll be on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said to the people, God's people in Jerusalem, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Y'all don't even know they had sweet tea back in Bible times. And send some to those who have nothing. This day is holy to our Lord. This is what I want you to catch, this last sentence here. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you have quoted that your whole life. You didn't even know one of the places it's from. It's right there, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you've been along this journey, specifically in March, bleeding into the beginning of April before Easter, we did a verse-by-verse study on Nehemiah. So I'm not going to go back into it at length, but let me highlight a couple of things, especially for those that are brand new. By reading this out of context, you would think that something really bad just happened. So Nehemiah is saying, no, don't be sad. Be joyful. But when you actually read this in context, which we did in this series back in March and April, when you read it in context, you actually realize that they just finished something significant. They just rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Something that hadn't been done in years and years and years. In fact, this is a beginning of a great revival. One of the biggest revivals that's ever happened in history. This is the beginning of that revival. That's the context. What's happening here? The people, they had worked so hard to rebuild these walls. They did it in 52 days, by the way. And so after they've done this, they are tired. You ever work so hard that like you're just tired? You're like, I need to take a break. All the moms in the room are like, that's my life, Pastor, okay? Like, I just need a break. Like, they were tired. They were weary. And so what happened? They had become contemplative, somber. It was almost like you walked into memorial service. Not a great celebration. It's like almost like you walked into the closing of something, not the new birth, the opening of something. So Nehemiah looks at God's people, kind of like I'm looking at you today, saying, you know what? Now is not the time to be upset. Now is not the time to sit back and, oh, I'm going to just recover. No. Now is the time to worship and celebrate and to praise God. Like, come on now. Like, get out the filet mignon, the sweet tea. Let's celebrate. That's what the message paraphrase says. Filet mignon and sweet, you know. Like you just got to celebrate. Like, we just did something great. God's doing something awesome. We should be loud about it. And here's what Nehemiah knew that maybe you don't know. Nehemiah knew that the rest that they needed and they desired, the joy that they needed and they desired, was actually all caught up in their celebration, in their worship, in their praise of God. And that when their joy was tied up in the Lord, in who He is and what He miraculously had just done in them and through them, that they would actually be strengthened more than they would sitting back on their own. And that's a word for somebody today. Yes, you need to rest. That's biblical. I've preached several messages about that. But I'm just telling you today, the joy that you're trying to find in this thing and that thing, it's actually tied up in Jesus. And when your joy is directed in who He is and what He's done, that's what strengthens you. And chapter 8 is the beginning of a great revival. And it started with them focusing and worshiping and celebrating the Lord. So now is not the time to be somber, quiet. Now is the time to focus on the Lord. And this is something I talk about a lot, and I'm hitting the home stretch here. I talk about this a lot with my staff and my elders, and it's popped up in a lot of different messages. But here's what I know about many of us, like myself, that grew up in church. Many of us grew up underneath the wrong assumption that God and church is only serious. Many of us, myself included, we grew up with the wrong assumption that, like, when you get to a church service in a church building, like, smiling is not allowed. And I'm just telling you that couldn't be farther from the truth. And if you think about it, maybe that's kind of what's been messing you up in your faith journey. So you keep going back to, you know, your grandmother or grandfather's church that you slept in the pews, and you're like me and you etch things into the pews. Man, God's got a good grace on me. I did some bad stuff. I'm just telling you. You know, we'd open up the hymnals. We're going to read stanza 3, or not read. We're going to sing stanza 3, 4. We're going to jump back up to 1, then down to 7. And then I would like sing out the wrong one on purpose. You know, like, God's got some grace for me. Grace for me. But I know I'm not the only one that grew up in that kind of a mindset, that we're going to pretend like everything's okay and we're going to be serious. And, And all of that stuff has its place, not the pretending part, but the serious part. All of that has its place, but God wants so much more for you. In fact, one of the reasons why I get so excited about what God's doing here at Christ Covenant is I just believe with all my heart, with all my passion, that this church and church in general should not be endured. It should be enjoyed. Like, you should laugh in church. And if you don't think that's for church, then you don't really know your Bible. And you really don't know your God. And I say that with all sincerity, but also with little oomph behind it, because I'm that serious. I know that sounds like that serious about not being. Yes! So, like, you need to laugh. That way you're not always having to go to the YouTube videos or the unhealthy comedians that are throwing a cuss word and every other, like, they're going to have to go for the movie and all this kind of raunchy stuff. But, like, in church, we can laugh and have fun. I got to tell you, we will fight for this here at Christ Covenant. We will. That's why we're going to do fun stuff for your kids and your grandkids. Well, should you really have ponies? We're going to do that next Easter, by the way. We're going to have some ponies after service. Should you really have a petting zoo? Should you really have a bounce house afterwards and provide free food? Yes! I want you to enjoy being in God's house. Like, I know we're not there yet, but I want to get to a point where this is like number one on your calendar, that you'll move things to the side and say, we're going to be in God's house. And we're not there yet. And not just our church, but the church. But we got to get there where we want to enjoy. I'm not talking about all this fluff and that's what brings you in. I'm talking about once you're here, that you enjoy God's presence, that you enjoy being with God's people, that I got to chase you out of here with a broom afterwards, because I want to be in God's house. I'm just telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. It's your strength. You need it. My prayer over you this week has been, God, may they leave service today. May they hit pause on the podcast today saying, you know what? My joy is going to be tied up in Jesus. And when it's tied up in Jesus, it will strengthen me and I'll move forward. I'm telling you, I work hard on my Mike Tyson jokes that I throw into messages. Okay, like, I want you laughing. Like rhetorical question, two of them, then we're gonna pray. When is the last time that you laughed so hard that you cried? Like, when is the last time that you laughed so hard that, like, your mouth hurt? You know, you smile so long and then your mouth. If it's been more than like a week or two, like, there's some issues. I'm being serious. Like, there's some problems. God wants you to be joy-filled no matter the season. No matter what's going on, joy is not circumstantial. Cover to cover, Old Testament to New Testament, you find people that had nothing, yet they were filled with joy. That's what God wants for you. But don't mistake it. Don't chase the fruit. Chase Jesus. And you'll look back on your life because he will supernaturally produce the fruit in you. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. So much. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. We love you so much. Holy Spirit, we want the fruit of the Spirit produced in our life. The fruit that only comes from you. Because if it's ever man-made or woman-made, it won't last. It will shrivel up and die. It's rotten in the middle. Doesn't matter how good we are, how good our thoughts are, our actions, we are not good enough, but you are good enough. So today we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We tie our joy around you because you never change. You're constant, you're faithful. And honestly, it's not really even about what you do, it's about who you are. So today our hope, our affection, our everything, our life, it's tied around you. And we understand today that our joy is rooted in you. That our joy is so much different from happiness that's here one moment and God the next. The joy you give is not circumstantial. It's steady, it's constant through the highs and the lows of life. God, may we also realize that when our joy is tied up in you, it actually strengthens us. It builds us up. Now is not the time to sit back and focus on something else and, oh, we did a good thing for God, and so we're just going to coast. Now is the time to lean in even more, to celebrate and to worship and to focus on you. And as we do that, God, you just rise up joy on the inside of us. But we don't make the main mistake that many Christians make. In fact, maybe you need to repent before the Lord today. God, I'm sorry that I've been chasing fruit. Today I turn from that and I start chasing you. Not with ill motives, that's not what I'm talking about, Lord, but just purely, succinctly, I'm going to run after you. I'm going to chase after you because you're the one that I need. Yeah, I want joy and I want peace. Those are all great things, but really what I need is you. So if that's any of us today that we've been chasing the fruit, the result, I pray, God, that we would repent before you right now. We're sorry. Forgive us. We turn back to you. With heads bowed, still eyes closed. If you're here today and maybe you're even from out of town, you're visiting family or friends for the holiday weekend, but you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm looking at my life, Pastor, and I just know, like, yeah, the fruit thing is great and all that's cool. And yeah, you made me laugh a little bit. And yeah, I got excited a little bit. But I don't even know where I'm at with just this whole Jesus thing. Like, what does that even look like, Pastor, to chase after Jesus? And right now, if that's you and you're asking those questions, just believe right now, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit's going to tug at your heart. It's going to pull you in. And here's the easiest way I can explain it. The chasing after Jesus is really just surrendering to Jesus. It's not about striving. It's not about stamina. It's about surrendering and giving up and saying, you know what? I've tried to run this race by myself, and look where that got me. So now I'm gonna let go and let God have his way in my life. And I'm gonna surrender, and I'm gonna submit, and I'm gonna literally give my life to him. That's what it looks like. And friend, can I tell you today, those in this room, those listening online, that if you surrender your life to Jesus, it is the best decision you can ever make. Better than any stock market decision, better than any earthly relationship, including a marriage. It is the best decision you will ever make. Why? Because it's an eternal decision. And maybe that's what you need to do today, is surrender to him. To stop chasing after the stuff and to surrender to Jesus. So heads bowed, eyes closed in this room. If that's you today, you're far from the Lord. You've been running your own race and God's calling you home. He's saying, no, that's not the best way. You need to surrender your life. If that's you, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you lift up your hands so I could see it? Surrender your life to the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No one looking but me, please. Thank you, Jesus. You can respond online as well. Come on, right where you're seated or right where you're standing, maybe listening, another location. You can talk to God right now. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And even underneath the sound of your voice, just even at a whisper, you can tell him, Jesus, I love you. I surrender. I need you. I've been trying to do things on my own. You can talk to God right now, just quietly, you and him. I've been trying to do things on my own, Lord, and it's just not enough, but you are enough. And today I feel you and I sense you and I know that you are the one that I need. So Jesus, I surrender. You can tell him that today, just quietly, you and him. I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. That you counted it joy. That joy led you there. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead so that I could be victorious. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. And you can even ask him right now, just, Lord, thank you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me brand new. Almost picture it in your heart right now. You got that whiteboard or that chalkboard, and there's all these smudges and all these stains that have been there for years, and you've been trying to wipe it clean, but those stains aren't going anywhere. But as you invite the Holy Spirit in, as you ask Jesus to forgive you, he comes in with his eraser, and he wipes it completely clean like it was brand new. Forgive us of our sins. Give us a fresh start. Help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for being in this house today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls. And thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to bear much fruit. And I pray that for my friends here today. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.